The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. Right, John?
Yes, very good, thank you.
What a week it's been, eh? We had the budget, we've had the banking crisis, we've had everything in 1 week. I mean, you know, it's enough news the last year, really. But and how has it affected, you know, commodity? I've noticed of late, gold is rallying, Bitcoin's rallying. And so there's worry about the dollar and all this stuff. There's worry about central banks, traditional sort of, you know, currencies. But yet alternatives seem to be rallying, like gold and Bitcoin, you know, which is a bit worrying, really. People putting their faith into gold and Bitcoin, they're running to the hills, aren't they?
Well, there's a greater realization of the dangers of holding government bonds in that short-dated, low-yielding government bonds lose value when governments suddenly start offering longer-dated, higher-yielding pieces of paper. So we saw this very clearly with SVB Bank, who had there was a bit of a run on the bank, and they hadn't been managing the risk in their treasury properly. And suddenly they had to sell some of these short-term, low-yielding bonds, and they discovered that you don't get so much money for them these days.
Yeah, the bond price is going up, but the worrying thing is the inversion. Yeah. Now, short-dated bonds are higher than long-dated bonds. Well, 2-year is above the 10-year, and that's an inversion of the yield. And I'm, you know what, I've got a horrible-looking chart where I look at the inversion of the yield curve, and going back to 1980... And it's happened 4 times, pretty much, where the inversion has been below minus 2. And, excuse me, but I'll drag it up here now. And it's quite worrying, because if you go back to 1980, late 80s, it inverted there by more than minus 0.2. It did it again just before the dot-com crash. It did it again in the great financial crash. Well, now it's gone as down as a whole minus 1 percentage point. So it's dwarfing the inversions that happened in the previous 3 recessions. And this is, I mean, inversion of the yield curve has been accurate in the last 10 recessions. So Jeremy Hunt, like I say, standing up there at the budget saying, oh, I don't want to avoid a technical recession. I thought, do you know what, mate? The inversion of the yield curve is more predictable than you are. It can predict the recession before you can. So and because of this, you see oil and everything selling off because, of course, a recession is not good for the economy. People use less oil and all that stuff. And you tend to see anyway when an oil price spikes within 12, 18 months of recession. So there's a lot of worry out there. You know, this yield curve, it's worrying, the inversion of that. So,
I mean, the collapse in oil prices, yes, it does signal a general slowdown, but it also signals a risk reduction. So people who use borrowed money to maybe buy commodities suddenly are selling them. So maybe if you're financing a tanker of oil, perhaps you don't necessarily want to hold that tanker tomorrow. And so these things can cause prices to unwind very quickly. We saw copper prices come down as well, although they bounced strongly, which goes to show a great resilience in the copper market. Gold prices carried on up, because gold is a great store of asset value, and that's fantastic. In fact, mining companies are generally a good store of asset value in comparison to banks. It's something that makes us smile once in a while. But of course, the SVB Silicon Valley Bank crisis has extended into other banks. Credit Suisse, of course, is a much bigger bank. It's had many, many more problems. I mean, there's a huge list of problems on what they've been fined for, evading taxes, bypassing U.S. sanctions. They were exposed to the Arceus fund that failed. That was a $5.5 billion exposure. Then there was $10 billion of funds frozen because of the Greensill collapse. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, you've got to wonder what this bank has been up to. And so, it was lucky for them. The Swiss government stepped in with a 50 billion Swiss franc loan. That's 44 billion pounds, which is enormous money, frankly. But, of course, the collapse of Swiss Bank would have created chaos within the global banking community, and particularly Switzerland. So yes, they had to kind of step in and bail it out. But there are other banks that are now being rescued. This Republic Bank in the US, and you know, it's interesting. The ECB reaction to this is just to whack up interest rates by another 50 basis points. So yeah, we've got to wonder, are there going to be some European banks that suddenly struggle?
Yeah, well, I was talking to Russ Mulder about that, and I was saying it's almost like they want to say, we know what's going on, we're right, rather than actually feeling the market, the sentiment of the market, and the worry that can happen here. And of course, what's going to happen now is, I mean, this is why, you know, banks sell off. They're going to be loaning less, you know, they're going to be more cautious on their loans. So that means, of course, not only is it, you know, it's more expensive to get loans because interest rates have gone up, but banks now are going to rein in a bit because they're going to be more careful, and that will slow down the economy again. So, you know, I do believe beyond anything that one of the best predictors of recessions is the yield curve, and it's now flashing. It's now more inverted than it has been since the 80s. Like I said, you know, it's a worrying situation there. I'm very cautious of the markets at the moment. I've got, you know, I do have some, I'm invested, but I'm half in cash pretty much. And so, yeah, it's a little bit wary.
I get what you're saying, but I think the flip side of this is there's still a lot of cash washing around the US and UK economies. And well, in Europe as well, to be honest, left over from COVID. So this is COVID cash that was pumped into these economies to stimulate. And it's still actually floating around. So I think this is why we've avoided recession in the UK.
Yeah, we're going into recession. Like I said, Jeremy Hunt standing up and saying we're avoiding technical recession. We haven't seen the fallout yet. We've only had, you know, it's literally the interest rates have risen so quickly. We haven't seen the actual fallout of that, I don't believe. So, you know, but having said that, the silver lining here, Johnny Boy, is that when a recession is announced, that tends to be the bottom of the market. And also, the 6 to 12 months before a recession is the worst time for stocks. So we are in that phase. We've had that phase pretty much. So, I mean, when we hit a recession, it's almost that is the bottom, you know. So, you know, will we go below the October lows? I don't know. But, I trust the yield curve over Jeremy Hunt any day, because it's got a better track record. And even over the OBR and all that, they tend to try and forecast, whereas you've got a track record of the inverted yield curve being quite, you know, highly accurate. So, anyway. By the way, looking at stocks, what do you think about Holtz? You know, in the ASX and all that, because there's a company out called Celsius Resources, CLA. There's an ASX trading halt, and this happens all the time. They're dual-listed companies. You know, you listen in the UK and in Australia. And over there, for any, you know, significant news or fundraise or anything that is price-sensitive, they halt trading. And I think that's quite a sensible thing to do, especially for if they're raising money or something, because, you know, there's a lot of leaks. And I've looked in it, and I did talk to a CEO of a resource company. I can't think of who it was, but he did say, yeah, it's not as simple as that, because he was a CEO of a dual-listed company. And he says, it's not as simple. There's no capacity or function in the AIM rules for requesting a halt just on news or fundraise. There are for other reasons, for suspension of, like, you know, late reporting or so that's, but it's not as simple on AIM. It's just not, there's no, you know, application there for that. So what do you think of halts? Do you think they're a good or bad thing?
I actually see it as quite a good thing. I think there are situations where the potentially a bit of information's leaked out and the market is moving, and as the CEO of a company, you would want to halt your shares for a few days because you know there's maybe an announcement coming out on drill results or something like that. It's not necessarily a fundraising. In fact, I think in many cases it wouldn't be a fundraising, but it's quite nice to stabilize the market and be sure. I mean, if you're drilling a deposit and you make a discovery of sulfide copper, for example, it's the drillers can see what that material is. We've actually encouraged companies to publish photographs of what the drillers can see, because it wouldn't be fair for the drillers to be running around and talking to their Swiss brokers and buying the stock ahead of everybody else. So we all want a fair and level playing field. And actually, I think the trading halt that the ASX uses is a good idea.
Yeah, Yeah, under Rule 10. Yeah, I think that as well. But so there's no capacity there for. So it says here the exchange AIM rules precautionary suspension. The exchange may suspend the trading of AIM securities where trading in those securities is not being conducted in an orderly manner. It considers an AIM company has failed to comply with the rules for the protection of investors. So requires okay, a reputation. But yeah, isn't dealings in the security? Yeah, but there's no like I said, there's no place in there for just news, you know, on significant news, which is odd. Because it's also a bit silly when it can happen on one exchange and not the other when you're dual listed. It doesn't make any sense, does it, really, you know?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so what does Celsius Resources do, by the way, anyway?
They've got a copper mine in the Philippines, and we think that's a very interesting copper mine. So that's why we helped the company to list on the London market a couple of months ago. Mm. In fact, I cannot say more than that today, pending the potential release of news next week.
Oh, okay, all right, so there we are. Marvellous stuff. Other bit of news out from Empire Metals. What's happening there, John?
Well, I'm a fan of Empire, and I've been thinking of buying the shares for a while. And then I was watching them go up and up. And they did a placing. They raised £1.25 million last week. So I took part in that. So that's my declaration out of the way. Mm. They've got two interesting things going on. They have what's called a giant copper deposit. Now, giant in this case is a geological technical term. And they think it's a sedimentary basin that they're drilling into in Western Australia. They think it has similarities between the sedimentary with the sedimentary basins in the Congo, where they find very high grade copper deposits, which are the best in the world at this point in time. And so there is a theory here that if they drill into this, they might find something. So they've worked up a whole bunch of targets. They now have the funding to start drilling into that, and our fingers are crossed. At the same time, they've also discovered a kaolin deposit. Now, kaolin is generally something used for paper. But I believe it's always possible that this could turn into high-purity alumina. Now, this is where my chemistry starts to sort of fall a bit short. But if this deposit is metallurgically more pure, then it could have a great deal more value. So anyway, it's an interesting project. They're a good management team. And as I say, fingers crossed that the Pitfield Copper Project in Western Australia might well prove to have some real value to it.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And finally, a bit of sad news, really. Paul Johnson's worked very hard with Power Metals, and he's a good promoter. But he's stepping down for family health reasons, which is a bit sad, isn't it? The share price is taking a bit of a knock as well from that.
Well, we're big fans of Paul. He's been a good CEO to work with for many years. He works incredibly hard. He's helped to incubate and develop a whole range of companies that have come to market or are still planning to come to market. And, you know, He's held this sort of this. He's created this network of junior mining businesses, which I think have a huge amount of potential. So a lot of this stuff is early stage, and sadly, I hear that he's had to step aside to look after a family member who's unwell. But I'm sure he'll be helpful in the background because that's the sort of guy that he is. And in the meantime, you know, other people are stepping forwards to take up the reins. So. Looking forward to more news coming out of the portfolio. I'm very sorry to see Paul step aside.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Marvellous. Yeah, it's literally the chart is looking a bit... it's hitting a low that it hit. Let me just get by the chart back up. In fact, back in July 2020, it's down at that low now from July 2022. So it went from 0.8... where do you go? Sorry, your thing. 0.8 to 1.7, and doubled there, and then came back down now because of that news. It fell 16% on the day that Paul mentioned he was stepping down. So there we are. But you know, if the operations and the projects are good, it'll go back up, I assume.
Yes, and I think we're hopeful that one of their subsidiaries, Golden Metal Resources, where they hold 83%, will IPO sometime soon. They announced that they completed the pre-IPO preparations, and so that IPO financing is underway. Hopefully that will get done. Clearly, this wasn't the best week to try and do a financing of any sort with the banking crisis. But at least with gold prices going up, that rising gold prices are normally quite good for the mining sector.
Yeah. Marvellous stuff. Thanks, John. Speak you next week.
You're welcome. Thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.